Well, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him there was nothing made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name is John. The same came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then, where'er you go. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. And what a wonderful Christmas celebration we've had. I'm rejoicing from the services this morning. And you know, I want to take just a moment. You don't mind, do you, Brother Rigsby? I was going to do it anyway. But I just want to say a word about our music. Don't we have great music? That quartet this morning, I don't think they'd ever sung together before, had you? I don't think you've ever sung before, some of you, but it was good. It was a blessing. It really was. And this solo tonight, wasn't that great? You know, God has blessed us. My wife and I traveled from the East Coast to the West Coast, and we don't find any music program that's equal to the music program of Worth Baptist Church. Dr. Johnson, you say, he's not a doctor. Well, I just made him a doctor. Brother Johnson, we want to thank God for you and the music that you put together for this great church. And for the musicians, wasn't that a great offertory? And all the musicians, all the staff. You know, no pastor can do a successful job without a good supportive staff. And Worth Baptist Church has it. In the pastoral staff, that is, I hate to say it, in the secretarial staff, in the custodial staff. If there are any other staffs, we'll talk to you later. But what about our pastor? Isn't he the greatest? If his parents don't mind this, I'm going to say I love him like a son. God smiled on this church when he brought Tyler Gillett to be our pastor. I love him. I pray for him every day and for his family. God has gifted him. He's one of the most gifted young men that I know. The future is bright. God's going to continue to bless Worth Baptist Church. We're going to knock out these walls out here. Knock out the balcony and fill them all up to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. Well, Brother Rigsby, I'm glad you're here. Can you have somebody else up here on the platform with me besides Brother Rigsby? But anyway, I've used enough runway. Let's get airborne. What do you say? Open your Bible. Did I tell you, when we open the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about tonight. In the Gospel according to John, chapter number 15. Now, as you're finding your place in the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to John, I should remind you of two or three things. I believe I mentioned this morning that the writer of this gospel is John, the beloved apostle, who wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of the Revelation. The gospel according to John is the last of the four gospels to be written, about 96 A.D. John's gospel is often called the eagle gospel because it soars beyond the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It gives us more father-son relationship, more spiritual relationships, more theology. And we'll deal with some of that in my message tonight. John chapter 15, I'm going to read verses 20, 21, and 22. I know what you're going to say as you read it. Well, that's not a Christmas story. Please stay with me. John chapter 15, verse number 20, after we pray. Now, Father, we are grateful for Christmas Day. And we know that the gift that you've given is the greatest of all gifts. We cannot put any purse or premium or price upon the Lord Jesus. He's superior to all, to the angels, to the prophets, to the priests, to the preachers, to every one of us. He's the greatest of all. And we thank you that he came into the world, that he sacrificed himself upon the cross, that he saved us from our sins and given us a home in heaven. And dear Lord, if on this Christmas night someone has come in without the Savior, I would pray they would come to know him. And Christians, it might need to just say, I want to thank the Lord at an altar prayer for this another Christmas and for what it means to us. May it be so is our prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. John chapter 15 and verse number 20. Jesus is speaking. He says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. Because they know not him that sent me. Now watch the first part of verse 22 particularly. If I had not come and spoken unto them they had not had sin. But now, they have no clue for their sin. Ladies and gentlemen, I will call your attention to the first five words in verse 22. Now, I'm going to break all the rules of exposition in a chapter in a group of verses and take the first five verses of verse 22. Now, this is what you call theological freedom. I'm free to do it without doing any violation to the Scripture. First five words of verse 22. If I had not come. Have you ever thought what our world would be like if Jesus had never come? Can I get personal? What would your life be if Jesus had not come? I hasten to tell you that the world would be even more morally destitute and spiritually bankrupt than it is. And your life would be totally miserable and absolutely without any hope of salvation. Jesus said, here I go quoting Jesus already. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peter said in Acts 4:12, one that you've heard all the last few services and messages, neither is there salvation in the other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. We can be eternally grateful, ladies and gentlemen, that He did come and that He came to people like you and me. Has it occurred to you that His birth was not first announced to the senators in Rome? It was not announced to the priest in Jerusalem. It was not announced to the philosophers in Athens. Here's some breaking news for you. It was announced to the shepherds in Bethlehem. Remember what Luke said? They were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the glory of the Lord came upon them, or the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I'm glad it's that way, aren't you? To all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Why do I say that? Because the shepherds were the least likely to whom He would have gone. The angel would have gone. Listen, if there was a caste system in Israel, they would be on the bottom rung of the ladder. They were, as the pastor said last week, unclean. They couldn't even testify in a court. They had no standing in the community. But the angel of the Lord came to them. And I'm glad He comes to people like us tonight. Again, I ask you, where would we be if He had not come? I'm glad that He did. And I've entitled this message, If Christ Had Not Come. Look again at verse 22, the first part of it, the first five words. If, Jesus is speaking now, quoting Him, if I had not come. I submit to you in the first place, if Christ had not come, God's honor would have been tainted and blighted forever. After all, it was God who promised that He would come. And Jesus came in fulfillment of God's promise. And listen, God cannot lie. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19 says, please don't miss this. God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall not do it, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? Ladies and gentlemen, that's in the book. And God wrote the book. I rejoice in what Paul said in Hebrews 10:23. He is faithful that promised. Joshua said, not one thing of all the good things the Lord hath promised has failed. God promised that Christ would come. He promised in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. This is the key to understanding the whole life of Jesus Christ. I want to read it for you and I want you to listen very carefully. God said to the serpent, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. You have the virgin birth and the vicarious death of Jesus Christ in one verse. And you follow the line through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, all the way through the Old Testament and into the New Testament, and you'll get the story of why it began in Genesis 3:15. First mention of the Messiah. Now watch it. As the seed of the woman. Now you know where the seed of the birth comes. From the man. This is different. In her womb was conceived the Lord Jesus by the Holy Ghost. Never has been anything like this. Never shall be anything like this. He's the only begotten Son. That is, he's the only Son that God fathered. And God gave him to the world. I'm happy to announce that Bethlehem vindicated the integrity of God. The Christmas story is all about Jesus whom God said would be, like, watch this now, everything that God said he would be, and he would be doing everything that God said he would do. Let me give you his testimony, quoting Jesus, John 4:34. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and you can't miss this, and to finish his work. You know what God's work was? To provide a sacrifice for sins. That's what God sent him for. That was his work. And you know what? From the cross, he cried, "It is finished." I understand in the Greek, that's tetelestai. One word. In English, it'd be three words. It's a banking term. Paid in full. And I'm glad that Jesus paid the sin debt in full. The last installment has been made. 'Tis done. 'Tis done. The transaction is done. And ladies and gentlemen, there'll never be another Garden of Gethsemane. There'll never be another Pilate's hall. There'll never be another illegal trial. There'll never be another crown of thorns. There'll never be another ribbon side. There'll never be another lacerated back. There'll never be hands and feet that are pierced by nails. There will never be another crucifixion. There will never be another sacrifice for sin because Jesus said, "It is finished." And Paul said in Hebrews 9:26, you don't miss this, once, O-N-C-E, that's for you folks from Oklahoma, no, I'm just kidding. O-N-C-E, once, underscore it, capitalize it, centralize it. Wasn't already canonized, I'd ask you to canonize it. Once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to make a sacrifice for himself. By himself, he appeared to make the sacrifice. He's made the sacrifice. Nobody else is going to make it. Once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. I'm glad he came. I want you to notice the last word in the Old Testament. Who can tell me, without looking, what's the last word in the Old Testament? Curse. Who said that? God bless you, Brother Burke. Curse. That's right. That's the last word. Let me give it to you. I give it to you from Malachi 4:6. Here it is. Lest, God said, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. That closed the Old Testament. That's it. Now, the first sentence in the New Testament, guess what? Contains the name Christ. Let me read it for you, Matthew 1:1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. What a great and grand and glorious beginning. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Son of David, son of Abraham. And David and Abraham are in the line. And Matthew traces it all the way back to Abraham, the friend of God. Now watch this. We go from the curse to the Christ. What a wonderful step that is. From the curse to the Christ. He came to deliver us from the curse, said Paul in Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus spanned the gulf of 400 years from the closing of Malachi to the opening of Matthew. 400 absolute, total silent years. No revelation from God in that time. Not even the flapping of an angel's wing. Totally silent. But praise God, the silence is broken with the advent of Christ. He did come as was promised. And 27 books later, the Bible is complete. You see, if Christ had not come, the Bible would not be complete. The Old Testament, I love the Bible. I really do. I love the Bible. How about you? I love the Bible. I read it each day. I love the Bible. It guides my way. I love the Bible hidden in my heart. I love the Bible, and we shall never part. 39 books of the Old Testament are inspired from Genesis to Malachi, but they leave us unsatisfied and unfulfilled. We look for something more. And here's the good news. We find it in all the New Testament because the New Testament is all about Jesus. His signature is found on every page. And it is written in blood. And you know what? Jesus will never deny his handwriting. He acts with a hand that never fails. He speaks with a tongue that never slips. He writes with a pen that never blots. And thank God, Jesus spanned that 400 years and brought the old and new together. And Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Old Testament, New Testament. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. 66 books, 1,189 chapters, over 34,000 verses, more than 700,000 words, and every one. By book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, line by line, word by word, syllable by syllable, letter by letter, all inspired of God. Now, we said the Old Testament ends with a curse. Let me help you with something that's really good. The New Testament ends not with a blight, but with a benediction. Who knows the last word in the New Testament? Amen. That's good. You got it. Everybody knows that. Even Dr. Johnson knew that. Here it is, Revelation 22 and verse 21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Paul, John was a southerner too. You all, you be with you all. Amen. Now I see in the third place, if Christ did not come, you and I would face eternity without hope. Paul wrote in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. In 1 Timothy 1:1, he wrote, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. He wrote in Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised. Are you ready for this? Before the world began. Wow. Before we were ever dreamed of, God had already made a plan for salvation. You see, the crucifixion didn't surprise God at all. You know what? God didn't wake up this morning and say, uh-oh, it's December 25th. I better go down and see what's happening at work. No, no, no. And the reason he didn't wake up this morning, he didn't go to sleep last night. Amen. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee shall not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade on thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ was born, he lived, he died, he rose again to provide hope in a hopeless world. And here's a final word, and Paul wrote it in Ephesians chapter 2. And I want you to notice two words immediately, very quickly. That at that time, underscore those two words, that time. At that time, ye, who's he speaking to? You and me, Gentiles. You Gentiles were without Christ. Here it is, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Having no hope. Sad words, aren't they? Having no hope. At that time, we had no hope. But Paul continues, but now, underscore now, that time, now time, then and now. That time, we had no hope. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometime far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. All because he came. And you know what we can sing? Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, I'm glad he came. Let's stand for our prayer. Heads are bowed. I wish I knew how to give an invitation. I've been working at it for 66 years. If you're here tonight and God's spoken to your heart, maybe you're just unsure about your salvation. Nobody's going to put you on the spot or call on you to make a speech. Just want to help you. You're here tonight. You've never trusted the Savior. If he were to come tonight, you'd be left behind. If you were to die tonight, you'd spend eternity in hell if you've never trusted Christ. That's as plain as I know how to put it. In hell. The rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torment. It's a real place. Hell is hell, and hell is real. You're here tonight and you never trusted him. You want the assurance of knowing that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. I hope you'll step out, let somebody show you how you can know that. If you're here tonight and you have a burdened heart, a prayer burden, something in your heart that you need to just lay on the altar, here it is, wide open. You know, if you want to get God's attention, the best place to get it is right here. Whatever your need is, maybe you want to join this church. Maybe you want to just come and thank God for Christmas. Well, I know you can do it on your back there in your seat. I understand that. But I kind of feel like you might feel better if you slip out of your seat and just spend a moment at the altar. Just thank God for another Christmas. Father, I pray that you would bless every person in this room tonight. We're dependent upon thee. We love thee. We long for thy power and thy presence. We do indeed thank you for another Christmas, reminding us of your love, sending Jesus to bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Oh God, speak to our hearts tonight. Burdened hearts. Hearts that are just so thankful they're bubbling over. And want to just say thank you, Jesus. Will you come as we sing?